Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
Today's guest is Mary Keene, and Mary is the owner of Cypress Grove Chev. Mary, a lot of people in Humboldt County know about Cypress Grove Chev, but goat cheese hasn't always been a popular thing in the United States. And you have worked really hard with other goat cheese manufacturers in the country to make that known. How did you go about doing that?
Cypress Grove Chev, we made our first commercial cheese in 1983. And at that time, our first year sales were like, I think, $66,000, and that included our whole income. So it was very, very tiny for a business of this nature. But anyway, mostly people just said, yuck. That was the response to goat cheese. And I was here in California. I have a really good friend now in Vermont, and another friend in Indiana, and another friend in Texas. And we were all making cheese at the same time, but we didn't know each other because there was no community of cheesemakers. So early on, we were some of the first people in the American Cheese Society. So we worked together, and I was on the board of that organization probably for 12 or 15 years. And what we've done, it's not just goat cheese, but at the beginning, you know, we had our little groups and we worked together and we shared recipes. And one of the nice things about the cheese industry now is that we're all growing fast enough that we can really help each other. So we, even now, I'm in a group called supergoat.org, and you can find that on the website to inform people about the benefits of goat milk. So that is, you know, it's an ongoing process. But so I'm the cheesemaker. There's someone else in the group who does yogurt and kefir, and somebody else who does goat milk ice cream. So, you know, it's an ongoing process, because now we all think everybody loves goat cheese. But in fact, if you look in people's fridges, not everybody has goat cheese still. So we're, you know.
What sorts of things do you do to try to get people to try it the first time?
Well, we do tastings. Mm-hmm. We don't do as much of that as we used to, because being in Humboldt County makes it difficult. I mean, Humboldt County is way less than 1% of our business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard, but we do promotions in stores. We give them cheese and they'll put it out to sample. But we really try and build interest and educate, because once people realize the benefits of goat milk, it's lower in fat, higher in protein, it's more easily digestible. It's got so many nutritional benefits, as well as the taste, of course, is the big, big benefit, I think.
And so what is the reaction of people when they taste it for the first time and they're pretty sure they don't like goat cheese?
Now it's pretty much, oh, I'm pretty sure, I thought I didn't like goat cheese, but this is pretty good. Uh-huh. And children will almost always like it if the parents don't coach them not to ahead of time. But we pay our farms a bonus for low bacteria count milk, so above grade A standards. So most cheese companies, you don't have to have that cleanliness standard that we have. But with goat milk, you want to preclude any off flavors. Mm-hmm. We send a sample out every pickup. So every farm, every pickup goes to an outside lab and is tested for all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And their paycheck depends on their milk quality. And once we started realizing, you bonus what you care about, which is milk quality, and that really makes a big difference. Uh-huh.
And now, how did you get started? We all know you, and we see you in Williams-Sonoma catalogs, and now you're, you know, quite large as one of the goat milk cheese producers in the United States. But how did you get started in the first place here in Humboldt County?
Well, I lived here. First of all, I inched my way up the coast till I found a place that was sufficiently remote for my taste. And I have four daughters. For a period of time, was a single mom, but I was the 4-H leader for dairy goats. So we had a few goats when we lived in southern Humboldt. And goats have an average of 2.2 kids per year. So every year, your herd doubles. So one is a boy, one you keep as a doe. Pretty soon, I had a lot of goats, and we showed the goats. So it was primarily goats as an art form. Uh-huh. You know, so you want a big, beautiful goat with a particular look and milk, but they still gave a lot of milk. And that milk was a byproduct then, because I was selling breeding stock and the genetics of my herd. You know, really, the milk was not of much value because nobody liked goat milk in the United States. I didn't have a creamery. Nobody did anything. So we had this little 4-H group, and that caused me to let my children's kids, have more goats. And so, you know, pretty soon I had 50 does in milk, and that's a lot of milk. So it just was...
So did you just start experimenting with making cheese? Did you find recipes and in books and start making cheese that way? Or?
Well, if you look at... Well, there's about a tenth of them here, but there's many, many books about making cheese now. At that time, there was none. There was zero. There was one book in French, and it was some French nuns, and the whole recipe was in French. So I read that as best I could, which was not so good. So anyway, about that time, a woman wrote a little book, Cheese Making the Easy Way, which is what I would recommend for anybody who is going to make it at home. But so I read these books, and it's like a lot of people cook that way. You know, you read little bits and pieces, and you put it together. And it was very much a trial and error, very opportunistic. I mean, I had 4 children. I had milk. What am I going to do?
And you had 50 goats. How much milk does a goat produce each day?
Average is, I just did this for our farms, is 0.85 gallons per day per doe.
Oh.
My herd average was almost twice that. It was 1.5 gallons per day per doe.
So you had
a lot of milk.
A whole lot of milk.
Especially if you're just at home, you know.
Yeah.
We gave it to neighbors. We did everything we could think of, but it just, you know, it isn't enough. You've got to deal with this. We fed it to the baby goats, of course, but if you're breeding for milk production, it doesn't take very long in a species that replicates every year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can make change pretty quickly. So I started this cheese making, and it was right about the time Lirapin was opening and Los Bagels were opening. They were our very first customers, those two local customers. And Dixie said, if you open a cheese plant, I'll buy it. And I thought, well, very cool, I'll do that. That was my business plan. You know, and in fact, I made more money just selling breeding stock than I did trying to do this cheese business for quite a few years. It was pretty grim.
It's amazing that it, like you said, it's a byproduct of what it was that you were enjoying
doing.
And then it's turned into what it is today.
Yeah. You know, I talk to a lot of people starting up businesses, and they always wonder, I couldn't have envisioned this. I mean, I was starting Cypress Grove to use the milk from my goats. That was the thing. There was no thought of a national market. It was just very local, very small.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, somebody offered to purchase my herd.
So you don't own goats yourself, is that right? Right now?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So I initially started the business to have a use for the milk from my goats, mm-hmm. but as it started to grow, I realized I couldn't do everything well.
How have you gone about developing that, finding people who are raising dairy goats and getting that going?
It's an ongoing process for us. This folder here is all about farms. And so we've brought in a consultant. We found a gentleman that lives in Canada who's come down and worked with our farms 4 times to help them with their best practices and do a better job. We have our own little truck that we bought from Rumiano Cheese. So we go as far as Cannibal Island and then to McKinleyville. So
it's all really local.
It's
right
really local, but we can't find enough milk here. So when we don't have enough milk, we can get it from various places around.
When you make a batch of cheese, how much milk goes into the process and what comes out the other end? Because I know you lose a lot to the whey when mm-hmm. you make cheese.
So it depends on what kind of cheese you're making. So for the fresh, soft goat cheese Chev that mm-hmm. most people are familiar with, you get at 1.3 pounds of cheese per gallon of milk. And a gallon of milk weighs 8.6 pounds.
Oh, okay.
So you're losing 7.3 pounds out of every gallon. Something people don't realize is that goat's milk costs more than 3 times as much. Cow's milk right now is selling for less than $1 a gallon. So when you see a pound of goat cheese and you think it's expensive, realize that the milk, which is 80%, is 3 times as expensive.
Yeah.
So really, it's quite a value considering.
And then the grasses that they eat, or do they tend to eat grass when on the dairies?
Well, they all have access to pasture and they all do eat grass. And every farm is different in how they manage their herd. So some do what's called strip grazing. So they move the goats from one tiny little pasture to another every day, mm-hmm. so that they always have very fresh pasture, which is a nice way to do it, mm-hmm. because then they're not back to that same piece of grass for quite some time. Mm-hmm. You know, they can move them along. Another farm has access to a lot of land, and she lives in the tidal zone, so they get out and even eat seaweed and weird things like that when the tide is way out.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Mary Keene.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.